Hurkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap dondusun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мөрөлдөө.
Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am here with Hanada Laranja, 27-time world champion, as well as CB Gold, newly engaged.
What's up, guys?
I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is now legal in California.
What?
Yes, and you can get it delivered to you, which is great because, you know, maybe you don't have a license. Going to the dispensary could be a pain in the ass. Gas is expensive. Who knows? So the good Gino at Speedweed has hooked us up with great products. I've tried them all. They're great. They got CBD oil. They have...
What CBD has to do with it?
Not this CBD. CBD oil...
Yeah,
right, exactly. I don't blame you. As well as all kinds of great stuff. So,
can they change the name, though? They have to call CB's
wine. So call it, go to speedweed.com, speedweed.com. They will deliver, mention roasted, and you get 10% off any order of $100 or more. So check it out. I'm telling you, even a patch is good, it's a CBD patch.
You wanna wear a patch?
No, you could put it on your arm, and it's
a...
I love Slick Rick. Slick Rick the ruler. So check out speedweed.com. It's awesome. Me, I'm tired. I got back from Calgary Monday. I got back Monday morning from Calgary. I had to go right to an audition to play like a 1940s cop.
I thought you were going to say to play a 19-year-old. No, 1940. I was like, you know what? You lost already.
Exactly. Well, no, but they requested me for like a...
40s cop?
To be a 1940s cop. Yeah, but then I did it. They're like, okay, no hand movement, no expression.
Like
exactly.
Yes, whatever you're doing, not that way.
But they have me do it again. That's always good about audition. When they have you do it again, it's good. A pilot. So that was good. And then I went right to coaching wrestling right after that because the wrestling team, we actually lost, which I'll get into. And then I had a show. I'm still tired. I'm still catching up. But Calgary was fun. I had some crazy shows. There was one show where there was a guy in the front, and I could just tell he was on cocaine because I'm on, and he's like, and he's grinding his teeth and just screaming at every joke. And his girlfriend's with him, and there were some people.
Big boy?
Yeah, big. He had like a mohawk.
There's nothing worse than a guy like that on cocaine.
Ugh. And then I called him like Limp Bizkit. I called him all this stuff. And there was a table from Poland that they weren't really laughing. But I was like, where are you guys from? They're like, Poland. And I was like, it's always weird sometimes. People aren't laughing. And you're like, oh, where are you from? And they tell you some country they don't speak English. And then the guy gets up at the end and he goes, "Rrr!" And then he walks out and he goes, fucking Warsaw, right?
Fucking Warsaw.
Yeah, I guess that was his like Polish. He just yells out, Warsaw. And
I like Polish women, though, I tell you that much.
Really?
You would think because, you know, Poland have like an, you know, you would think Poland is like, you know, maybe they have a babushkas and stuff, you know, it's cold or something. You know, you get the...
Right.
God, the girls look like in Sweden or something, but with your big booty cheeks and big lips and stuff like that. I swear to God, every fucking Polish girl that I, associated myself with has been some of the best on the whole world.
Yeah, Polish women, they're like fearless. So that was one night.
They fearless?
Yeah.
Because they fucking with me? Is that why?
Exactly.
I say I've been with some Polish girl. God, the Polish are fearless people. Well,
then I did a show at the Dime on Monday, and I was so tired, and this guy would just not stop talking. Like, having a full-on conversation trying to pick up this girl, and I'm like, she's not going to fuck you. Stop. You know.
You told him to take it outside, bud.
I told him 100 times, and the guy was, I was like, let's play the quiet game. Finally, I was like, dude, I'm so fucking tired. I got my luggage in the back of the bar. I haven't even been home yet. I had to go to wrestling practice. I can't hear, just please shut the fuck up. And that crowd erupted. And then he's quiet for 2 more minutes and then still stopped.
You can't get security at that point to get him the fuck out?
It's a bar. That's the problem. If it was a comedy club, he'd be out in 3 seconds. Mm. But it was a bar.
What a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, but that's the thing about the Dime Bar is that you do it's like running with weights on. Yeah. So when you take the weights off, you're the greatest comic in the
that's
world.
That's true.
And then
adversity.
Then there was a show where there was like all these Indian people, and I'm like, oh,
like what kind?
Like India.
Feather.
India. I think they like to be called India, not daughter feather idiots. Well,
so two different kind of
that sounds like a great store with the make.
Daughter feather?
Daughter feather.
So I was like, oh, are you Hindi? And they're like, oh, no, we're Sikh. And I'm like, well, hope you feel better. Oh. So that was, I was happy about that.
I like that.
I got a big laugh. And then, yeah, things are good. Actually, we have our big tournament this week, big for wrestling. And my kids, it's just hard when I'm not there. I have great guys, Ryan and Tyler, coaching them. But there's this other coach in the league who a couple years ago cheated with the weights. Like, he was putting – I'm like, why are all his kids in rank number one in the tournament? So I weighed his kids in without telling them. And then I'm like, hey, you have a kid that's 84, but you put him in 80 pounds. He's like, well, I didn't know there was going to be weigh-ins today. I would have had the kids cut weight.
Scumbag.
Like, cut weight in middle school? Are you going to have a 10-year-old cut weight?
Scumbag.
So it became this whole huge thing, a whole big blow-up. So this year, we beat him by 50 points, so he wanted to do a dual meet, but I wasn't there. But he wanted to make the make the matchups. And we're like, just give us the weight class, and we'll put our kids in there. But he's like, no, I want to do... So he did the matchups, and a lot of our kids got smoked, and I was furious in Calgary. I was like, you know, could take... So now our big tournaments this week, but unfortunately, we have a kid from Russia who's like right from Chechnya.
You showed me that kid, yeah.
Love that kid, but he's ranked second in the state in kickboxing. But his dad has him doing boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and judo.
Too much.
Yeah, now the kid can't walk, so I think he's out for the.
Too much. Yeah, that's too much. The fucking guy. Come
so
on.
So pissed. Anyway, how are you doing? What's going on with you?
I'm doing okay, poha. I what the hell have I been doing?
You were in Florida.
I was in Florida.
Yeah,
I was in Florida. It was great. You know, I stopped by my man Gucci's jiu-jitsu tournament. And then I was doing some business out there, working on some very exciting stuff for the people. Pretty much moving Renato Laranja onto the next level
nice.
In terms of media and stuff like that. Some project. I don't want to get into specific here, but the fans are going to be very excited.
That's great.
I'm going to cover all the bases in terms of shit that your Uncle Hanach is going to be doing.
I always tell people that you're the most talented person I know. Especially when it comes to comedy.
I can't take that. What about jiu-jitsu? What about jiu-jitsu? What about MMA? I mean, but whatever.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate the comment.
And CB, you got engaged?
Yeah, I got engaged.
You were at a tattoo parlor.
Who's the lucky lad here?
I was at my tattoo parlor.
Okay.
We had our grand reopening party, which I've been putting together for a few months. And my girl didn't know, but I told all her friends, you know, be there because I'm going to propose that night.
Right.
And I had to give a speech to kind of thank everybody for showing up and everything. And then I called my girl up and said a few words to her and then got down on one knee and proposed. And there is video of it on my Facebook.
Nice.
Right now it looked like, because if you can't see at home, but he's holding, we have the stand, and but he's holding it like as if he's at a comedy show.
I'm Bob Barker.
I wish it was the thin one. But
that would have been awesome.
It just looked, the way you was doing it here, it just looked like you was at a comedy show and you was just bombing right now. You know what I mean?
I bombed the first time.
No, but you're like, we was, then I proposed to her and...
Yeah, you must be very excited. Now, I mean, like, I proposed to her.
I had some of my friend there.
And then I buried her in my backyard.
I got on one knee.
And I killed her.
And then she accepts.
Now,
I'm tired, man.
Now you, now
yeah,
you,
I'm
now
tired too, but bring up your energy.
Right? I asked her dad.
And did her dad say, well, you need a job first or no?
No.
Oh.
If I was her dad, I would have said, what's in it for me, boy?
Are you excited now? Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm super excited. We're starting to plan
what
the wedding.
What she looks like? She's black?
No.
Why you say it like that?
Because no matter what I said, you were going to come back with
but
something.
She's got cheeks.
She does?
She's got cheeks, yeah, yeah.
Well, he have good chase.
Yeah, his ex-girlfriend was the stripper was hot.
Oh, God, he don't want to talk about that. That's all new. Right.
She's married now.
Are really? You kidding me?
Yeah, she got married. She moved back to, like, Wisconsin or some shit, and, like...
You were her rock bottom?
To Wisconsin?
You were her rock bottom? Like, she married that ex-girlfriend?
Well, rock bottom.
I don't know about that. I think stripping was her rock bottom. I was a step up.
She was a dancer. Right. She moved like a dancer.
Now, yesterday, I did a show yesterday, and this guy named Eric Blake, funny comic, starts going off on the whole Me Too movement, going like, okay. Women, you know.
On stage.
Okay. Talking about women, you know, guys have to want to fuck you for you to say Me Too. You know, like, some of you girls, and he did like, 10 minutes on this, right? And the women were just so pissed. Like, he was like,
of course they're going to be
pissed. You can't say Me Too if you're unfuckable. He's like, just because one guy got drunk and tried to fuck you, and he did a whole, and they were getting angrier and angrier. here. I, you know, look, as a comic, I applaud people taking risks. You
Me
know?
Too. You know what? I swear to fucking God that came from the heart. I didn't even mean to make a joke.
Now, Renato, you do hit on a lot of girls.
True.
You do,
Me too.
You do have a lot of one-night stands.
I don't know about all that.
Now, do you, have
just
you...
because, hold on. Well, just because I'm dressed like this does not mean that I always have. I'm not a piece of meat.
I have to
be attracted to the woman,
but
true.
A lot of guys are changing their ways now. They're thinking
I'm
about.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yes.
I'm not going to be anybody who I'm not, no matter what. Okay. So if you don't like my approach and you're not into your Uncle Hanach, you're never gonna be
right.
And if I'm give you something different than from, if I give you something different in the first couple week, and act like I'm some kind of fucking sensitive gentleman who don't make jokes or who don't take liberty or whatever, then you're gonna find out in a couple week that I'm like this way, that I'm like to have fun and joke around and fuck around, and that I have a certain sense of humor, and you're not gonna like me, porra.
Hello.
Is this Chris Williams?
Oh, yeah, it is.
What's up, man? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Renato Laranja, CB Gold. How's it going, buddy?
Christopher Williams.
How's it going?
How are you, man? You're undefeated in Bellator, undefeated as an amateur. Congrats on the start of a great career.
Oh, you know, man, you know. You just do what you do. You wake up, eat your protein bar like everybody else, take 7 poops a day, and you just rock and roll.
Now, what's your background, by the way?
All right. I was a super little, tiny, skinny white kid who did Taekwondo in the Bay Area.
Oh,
and,
what part?
I got my ass kicked all the time.
What part of the Bay Area?
And then San Jose. Is that what you said?
Oh, okay.
Bay Area?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So I got my ass kicked in the Bay Area, and then... we moved to Fresno, and I started wrestling, and you know, that's about it.
And how did you do in wrestling in high school?
Bro, you don't even want to know. I probably won 5 matches in 4 years.
Oh,
wow, wow! So after you graduated high school, did you go to college at all?
Yeah. So I was so distraught with my terrible wrestling career. No, I had a terrible family. So I moved to Oregon. I moved as far away as a couple hundred bucks of gas could get me. And I went to school in Oregon. And then I got super fat. And then I was like, I'm going to lose some weight. I met this guy named Fabiano Scherner.
Oh, I know that guy.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, Fabiano.
And that's it.
Wow.
He's great. Fabiano Scherner.
And what belt are you now?
Oh, I'm just a lowly blue belt.
Oh, God.
I mean, you're obviously doing very well. Do you train over with Chael Sonnen at his gym?
Yeah, dude, I beat Chael every day.
What weight you fight at?
Featherweight, 145.
145.
So you give Chael all he can handle, bro.
Chael can't handle my thighs, man. You don't understand. I've got the strongest thighs in the featherweight division.
Oh, God, you tell me more about that. Why are you wearing?
Every
morning I get up, I do my calisthenics, dude. I do the squeezing. You know those machines that those chicks do on Taibo? You know,
Thigh Master.
About 50 of those every morning.
Thigh Master.
Yeah.
So you lay down, yeah? You put on some soft music and stuff. Speaking of soft music, you had a great music career. And tell me about when you had you was in New Jack City and working with Ice-T and also Wesley Snipe, Christopher Williams.
I think it's a different guy. I think that's a different guy.
Well, he's not the good-looking guy. Like, I always hated who played Hakeem Akbar or whatever his name.
No, that wasn't him.
See, I hated you, that pretty motherfucker.
No, that wasn't him. That's different Christopher Williams. That was a different guy.
God,
That was a different guy.
They call me Hot Chocolate. He's right. That's me, dude.
Well, God, are you? Now I'm less excited from this now.
Now, you did some good stuff, man. In your, I mean, as an amateur, you were 8-0. As a pro, you're now a 4. You're 4-0. And then you did some funny shit. What did you do? You were like, dancing or something on the way to the cage. What did you do that was funny? I was trying to look it up, but I couldn't find it.
That's just my face, bro. I'm just a funny looking guy. That's not very funny, man.
No, but,
rude.
No, but what did you do in your first Bellator fight? What did you do again?
Yeah, no, I came out to James Brown, man. And if you can't dance to James Brown, you got something wrong with your head.
Which song?
I think I did a little dance. There was some ring girl checking me out, so I had to show her what was up. You know, I had to show her the hips.
You did some mashed potato or whatever, and you did the James Brownie?
That's what you played, that song? Yeah.
Oh, God, I like that. That shows some creativity instead of the same old shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, who are you fighting next?
Dude, you know, I can't remember his name. I just call them next. You know, that's in my brain. I just say that's next.
So
and
you
then
don't...
I just get in there and I really focus. The main part of my fight camp is finding out what song I walk out to. So before it was Pony by Genuine.
You did that for him?
Before that it was Marvin Gaye.
See, you are, okay, so you're a man after my own heart. Because that sounds like the kind of shit I would do for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want my opponent to feel like I'm about to make love to them as I get into the cage.
You're a lover. Yeah. You ever thought about doing LL Cool J, I Need Love? I always thought that would be a good one to for the fans.
That is, I don't know why I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I've been sitting here for the last 3 days. I haven't left my room. I've been sitting here naked with creative energy trying to think of my next song.
God,
and here you just give it to me.
He's a big fan of yours, by the way.
Wow, you know, I appreciate that, and I can't say that I'm surprised.
Now, one of your teammates just got engaged to Paige VanZant. How did you not get in there first?
Wait, which one?
The one of his team, right?
Why?
Yeah, that's actually really funny, dude. That's my buddy from college. He used to kick my ass in wrestling when I tried to wrestle in college. Kicked my ass so bad that I ran away from everything, and now he's followed me back, and now he's engaged to Paige VanZant. They're a very happy super couple.
Does Paige ever said stuff about me?
Does she talk about you?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
No, she ever mentioned me? Because we sat next to each other in at the MMA award one time, and boy, it felt like I could feel a chemistry was there. And she was wearing a headdress and stuff.
Does she have enough cheeks for you, though? It seems like she's kind of small.
You know, I'll tell you what. When she's not cutting weight, her body is very... It have the height stuffs.
Right.
Because I always thought she was kind of cute.
Yeah.
But when I seen her in heel life...
Seems kind of young, though. She's like a young face.
I don't
face.
Give a... What, you kidding me out of your fucking mind? How old is she? In her 20s?
She's
in her 20s?
She looks young, though.
I don't give a fuck
like
how young
year
she look. Great. I don't give a fuck. What I care about that? I want her to look old.
Right. Good point.
Yeah, I wish she looked more old.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. She looks a little too fresh-faced for me.
Okay. Well, hey, that's you, my brother.
Gentlemen, I can't say anything because her fiance now... and kick my ass up and down the street.
Wait.
I have accountability. You guys have that freedom of speech, you know.
I'm all the way over here. If he want to get on a plane over here and discuss with me, that's he going to have to pay for that one.
So now after your last fight, you called out that guy, James, who's the Bellator kid from Ireland?
Vanderbeek.
James Gallagher.
Another fucking comedian?
Yeah, he called up, James Gallagher. He's got his undefeated kid from Ireland.
That kid.
That kid that beat Machida.
Oh, he's not too bad, that kid.
Now you called him out. Have you heard back from him at all?
Oh, he's not going to say anything to me, bro. He doesn't want none of this. He knows that I do the Thigh Master every day, man. It'd be a grappling Thigh Master squeeze-off competition.
Yeah, like Suzanne. He's going to think he's in there with Suzanne Sommer.
I mean, do you think that maybe, though, you're kind of... I mean, what about the other kid that... the kid that Bubby's trained with? What's that kid's name? The one whose father is...
AJ McKee.
What about AJ McKee?
Oh.
Oh, you know, I wanted a piece of him. You know, he looked delicious, right? I thought, that'd be tasty. But you know what? I'm going to give him some credit. He's on his own little journey right now to the belt. And, you know, I see him getting a title shot real soon. And, you know, while he's doing that, and he'll probably lose, me and Gallagher are going to, like, hump it out for the contender spot. You know, I got to beat this guy in a couple weeks up in beginning of March, and then I'm going to get that tattooed little Irish wannabe in the summertime, and then we'll go for the belt at the end of the year.
Yeah, none of those guys want someone like him. You know, he's a guy that they want to avoid, you know, right. Because he's a guy who don't have, like, if you're talking about McKeith and Gallagher,
yeah.
They both got as big a name in Bellator kind of as you can have at this point. And your boy Christopher Williams, although he made a lot of hits in the 90s and was, you know, New Jack City and stuff like that, and MTV Unplugged up channel, the MMA fans don't know him as well as they know that guy.
Yeah.
So if they lose, they see that he's undefeated. If they lose to him, you know what I mean? They're going to be like, you know, there's not a lot.
But he's doing the right thing, though, calling everybody out.
Absolutely. I'm just saying he can't, you know, it's good luck getting them to want to fight you.
Why is your nickname Sunshine, by the way?
Oh.
Oh, that's a good. All right. So it comes from two things, right? One of them was when I joined the gym, it was just a couple of the heavyweight guys that were helping Chael get ready for his comeback fight in the Bellator. And all they did was, can I cuss on this? Yeah, I can cuss.
Of course, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
They beat the living shit out of me. I knew nothing, and I came in with a smile on my face. And then the other reason was because they knew this guy in prison, and his nickname was Sunshine, but he was crazy, and he did a lot of, like, sexual things, and it made people confused. And so, like, you know, I'll leave that up to you guys for speculation, but I'm a combination of those two sunshines. And then the sunshine from Remember the Titan, the quarterback. So, you know, there's a lot of confusion.
Hi, sunshine.
Well, look, man, I mean, look, you're doing the right thing. You're 8-0, you're I mean, you were 8-0 as an amateur, 4-0. You're at Gracie Barra, Portland. I know that Hanada. 12-0, yeah, total. Now, I know, Hanada, you have something with the Gracies. Are you guys cool now?
We've always been cool. I don't have no problem.
Seems like a lot of those guys are jealous of you.
No. The Grace family have a lot of respect and vice versa from me. Okay. You know, we never got a problem, especially Hanzinho is he's like my brother.
Now, by the way, I'm going to be in Portland at Harvey's Comedy Club in April. So hopefully you can come to the show and we can hang out.
I'll be there.
You ever been to
I got a bone to pick with Hinalto, though. He came to Portland, and he didn't pay me tribute. You know, I run Portland, and you didn't come to my gym. You were down the street.
God,
you went to the Flat Earth place.
The Flat Earth. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I'm go where the water is warm. You know, when they pay you Uncle Hinach, then, you know, I got to go there. You know, I'm not a greedy man, Chris Williams, but, you know, I just want to wet my beak. I mean, how much was you guys fixing to give your Uncle Hinach here?
You get to be in the presence of greatness. We could have made sweet love.
I like this kid. This kid's got an attitude.
Well, you know, as attractive as that sound, I was trying to make some fucking money over here. But you know, and hey, it's not out of the helm of possibility to you know have me out there again, porra.
So, Chris.
Well, this time it's business and pleasure, man. You know, you can mix both. That's
yeah.
Okay.
And you're a single man.
Wait, what did you just say?
Are you a single man, Paul?
Are you single?
Oh no, I'm engaged. But listen, it's okay. My fiance, she understands that I like the dark meat.
Oh God, I'm not talking about for you, Porha. I'm talking about so we can go out and avail ourselves of some white women out in Portland.
This is the weirdest guy. He's calling people out to hump them and like have sex with them. This is a whole new angle.
It's you know, it's
you're like the gold dust of MMA.
I like that.
Yeah.
And gold dust. What was the black woman that was associated with gold dust? I think it was, her name was Sapphire.
Yeah, yep, it was Sapphire. Yep.
You don't remember that? You're the wrestling fucking
lady. That was
almost my nickname.
Sapphire.
Sapphire was almost my nickname in college.
You know what, my brother? If you fucking change your name to Sapphire, I'm going to come to every one of your fights. That would be the illest fucking name.
Wait, Goldust or
no,
Dusty Rhodes?
No, I gave...
Sorry, Dusty Holds.
No, I gave...
Wait, Dusty Holds. Why, it wasn't Goldust.
Goldust was Terry Runnels.
Okay, so Dusty Holds had yes, because Goldust came a little later.
No, I gave Lauren Murphy the best nickname, Daddy Issues. I thought
wow,
that
is a fucking great name.
Barb.
But when you got a white, that is a great name. But when you got a fucking white kid... who's got a mouth on him and stuff like that, and then you name this fucking kid Sapphire.
Yeah,
imagine the mystery and the wow. I like that. You got to think about maybe to change the name.
Well, listen,
Sapphire.
Well, I have to legally change my last name anyways because I'm not keeping the whatever nickname or last name that whoever my biological family choose, whatever. The last name means nothing to me.
I don't blame you. And I think to have your name, when people ask you how you got the name Sapphire, and when you tell them that was by a chunky black woman with fucking short Jerry curls that used to work for Dusty Hodes, they're going to be intrigued. And you're gonna get called up to the big show. I guarantee it.
So, Chris, where is your next fight? Where is it?
Right outside of Texas, Oklahoma. It's like a town of like 500 people, man. Everyone works in the casino.
Thackerville or something.
And,
only the best, yeah, Bellator. You know,
yep. All right, well, good, man.
You know, I know I'm not the most sexy, popular man in the world, but I guarantee you, dude, the sun is going to shine this year. I can just see it. I can see it in the future. In the horizon, sunshine, sapphire. William.
I believe it.
What about the both of that together, like a hyphenated? He goes, and sunshine, sapphire.
I love it.
Chris William.
So where can people find you, Chris?
The sunshine, sapphire.
Where can people find you, Chris?
I'm so shook. You mean what? My handles? Social media handles?
No, your house, your address.
Oh, no, you don't want that. Look, I live in a box on the side of a big house. And, all right, look, it's ChrisSunshine145 on Instagram. That's the only place I care about because I'm a millennial. I can't wait to get the check mark. It might end up being ChrisSunshineSapphire. Oh, and by the end of the day, though, so
be still my heart. Still my heart. I'm going to find you right this second in Heel Chime, and I'm going to follow you. So it's Chris.
Yeah.
Chris_sunshine_sapphire.
Caralho.
Well, thank you, Chris.
No, what is it for? Now, you fucking guy.
it's Chris_sunshine145.
Yeah, well, thank you, man.
What's sunshine? Caralho, why it's not coming out?
Yeah, definitely.
_sunshine. Okay, my brother.
All right, take care, brother.
Hey, it was a pleasure. I'm glad you finally. He's out of here.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You cut him off.
That was Chris.
I don't. You know what? I like that kid.
Yeah.
If he fight anywhere near how he fucking behaves, then he's gonna go far.
I just got announced today that Michael Chiesa is fighting Anthony Pettis.
Does this fucking guy spell it with a H?
C-H-C-R.
That's why I thought, but I thought only girls spell it like that.
So Chiesa's fighting Pettis. That's a good fight.
Oh, that is a great fight.
I tweeted that out, I think, last night. They're working on it.
No, Chris tweeted out. Said it's official. Nice. I think Chiesa wins that.
I definitely think Chiesa wins.
I think Pettis
that.
Is kind
I,
of
I yeah. think Chiesa got a I think Chiesa got a great chance.
Yeah.
But I feel bad. You know, for some reason, I know some people think he's cocky or whatever, and, you know, they don't like him and stuff, but I always thought he was a great fighter, and I feel just sad when I see...
Pettis?
When I see, like, how many... That he's gone down, you know, in his stock. You know, it's just sad when I see him look. I go, come on, man. I feel like...
Chiesa or Pettis?
No, Pettis. Chiesa is doing great. He just had a, you know, had a fucking tough fight with the tough motherfucker.
Kevin Lee?
Yeah, that was
that was also a weird stoppage, too.
I disagree. I love Chiesa. I love Chiesa. But you know I love Kevin Lee. Being an objective, I like both those guys.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of both. I like them as people. But sorry, my brother, that's not a weird stoppage.
I thought it was a weird. But let the guy go out.
And he got it. Okay. Fair enough.
So I think Chiesa's got this. It's going to be a good fight. And also they talked about... So Conor McGregor went into an octagon. I think it was at Syndicate Gym. He walked into the octagon and like
Floyd.
Conor McGregor. Oh yeah, Mayweather did. Mayweather went into an octagon at Syndicate and was like tweeted about it. This is so stupid. He's not going to fight MMA. I don't know why anyone's thinking he's going to go MMA.
Who went into an octagon? What?
Mayweather went into Syndicate Gym, walked into an octagon, put it on camera. Everyone.
It's like an 8-second fucking.
And everybody was like, my God, he's going to fight him in the cage. No, it's like.
Here's another dumb thing. Like, how much fucking more money, you know, for someone? I guess he just. All he want to do is just acquire money.
Mayweather?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, If you was him, I get if you do that, you could probably make more money than you ever made before or whatever.
No, he wouldn't.
No, I'm just saying, imagine if he did MMA, everybody in the fucking world would watch that fight.
Yeah, but nobody, I think he would make a lot more money boxing. They wouldn't.
No, I'm just saying, well, I don't know about that. That's a we never had a boxer who was still good
relevant.
Fight. Yeah, still relevant. And arguably the most relevant person.
Well, Holly Holm was still good. She was champion. But
you're comparing Holly Holm to
no,
Mayweather?
No, I'm just saying a boxer was still good in boxing and relevant.
She did very much MMA before she
I know you're
got
saying.
Into
you're
a
saying,
UFC I mean,
you're,
cage
you're
or whatever.
To James Toney, whose career,
exactly,
career was,
exactly.
Was off.
Yeah, even though great, one of my favorite all-time boxers. Don't get it. I like James Toney more than I like Floyd Mayweather.
I remember one time James Toney at Wildcard Gym was there, and he would just he'd go there, show up, do no jump rope, no stretching. No hitting the bag, just hop in to do sparring.
Old school.
And the whole time, he'd be talking shit, not only to the person he was sparring against, but to everybody watching.
Yeah.
I was with Godfrey, right? Godfrey, the comedian.
Yeah, I know who he is.
And he's
that.
Like, come on, 7-Up guy. You don't want none of this shit. Fucking 7-Up. And he's talking.
Because he's, yeah. I get that. You know,
Call me Couture Princess.
Yeah. Like, but I'm just saying, like a guy like that, he needs to do that. I know what he's doing. He's controlling the fucking environment. Because, you know, even a tough guy like that, and even a tough guy like myself, it's like you still sometimes that fear, the monster, the fear and the doubt monster come in there and start, you know, the demons come in and start doubting.
Yeah.
And then you need to shut those up by owning your fucking place. You come in there and you say, this is my, every person in here, not even the guy in the hang, all the audience, everybody, you belong to me, motherfucker.
But what time he was in there sparring and his car got repossessed while he was sparring?
Why? He got all kind of fucking money.
Oh, no, not at the time. The time he has bad marriages and all kinds of child support.
But one of my, audience out there, if you're a boxing fan, go look up some old James Toney fights.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was
the Jirov fight
was one of the most exciting guys I ever seen fight.
The James Toney versus Jirov was one of my favorite fights ever. And even against Roy Jones, it was a prime Toney, prime Jones.
Yeah,
Toney had a terrible weight cut. I think lost 35 pounds the night before or something. Like IV whole thing.
Yeah.
And he went 12 rounds against Roy Jones. And, you know, Roy Jones is fighting again on Fight Pass next week.
Oh, God.
His last boxing match ever. And it's a boxing match.
Bare knuckle?
No, it's boxing, but there's MMA involved. I think, I don't know, lingerie football. Whatever the fuck is going on.
Yeah, they're doing a circus show.
But
I don't want to see him fight no more.
No, I do not. There's nothing. The only fight I ever saw he look good in the past 10 years. Was against Bobby Gunn. He killed Bobby Gunn, the bare knuckle guy.
It's not that I don't think he can box. Like, I feel like he can box still. But my thing about him is I like him. And I also like, he's one of my favorite announcers because you know what the fuck he's talking about. And like, the last thing I want to see is him hurt himself and be like slurring his words.
What
and
does
stuff.
He have to prove? He has nothing to prove.
Yeah, like I met Cherry Norris. You remember Cherry Norris?
I saw Terry Norris in Maine.
Terrible Cherry Norris.
Yeah, I saw him fight.
I seen him at Hunyan Canyon, you know, and it was heartbreaking. He looked beautiful. I mean, he looked still handsome and his body, he looked like he was in the greatest shape of his life. But his words was so slurring and so sad. It was so heartbreaking. I just came up to him and I said, hey, I'm a big fan. I just want to tell you thanks for all the fights, you know. And I went to move on because he was with his family.
Remember me, you and Connor did Runyon with those porn stars?
We did. And those porn stars was very nice. I like those ladies.
And then, like, I was trying to set you up. I was like, you know, he back in the day in Brazil, he was in soap operas and this and that.
Yeah,
then, actually, I remember I asked out one of the porn stars, Brooke Haven at the time.
I remember. She was nice. I liked that.
And I was like, Brooke, we should go on a date sometime. She goes, you have a terrible reputation. I go, me? I go, you're on film.
Ain't that a bitch?
Like,
ain't that
I
a
have
bitch?
A reputation? Like,
she's gobbling on, I don't know how many guys' cock is standing around her like a gang.
By the way, Connor right now is now dating Heather, Joe Clark.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Hey, I wish them the best, you know, two fighters. You know, I like
David Mitchell.
We're not talking about Conor McGregor.
No,
we're
talking
about Conor Hune. For those who don't know, Strike Force fighter, 10th Planet Black Belt.
Love him.
Know,
love that guy.
Good guy. Colorado native. Yeah. So anyway, what the fuck we was talking about? James Toney.
Yeah, James Toney.
Why
boxers Mayweather in general.
Oh. But my thing about Mayweather is like, okay, even if you could get, let's say he could get 500 million, whatever, you know, just much money as he could ever get or whatever. Well, so what? Now, what more? He can't spend all the fucking money he has. Why you care?
I don't understand.
How about you give some of that money to people?
A lot of those things. A lot of those people. I go, look, if I ever made $5 million in my life, right? let's say I made $5
million. Yeah, yeah.
I think I could retire on $5 million.
You could figure it out. Yeah, because you're not trying to floss and impress everybody.
No, and then I would use some of that money to invest in some real estate, whatever it is.
Of course.
But these people that have like 50 million or 100, and you keep doing it. You're like,
yeah, but he, forget 50 million. I mean, how much do you think that guy is worth?
Floyd?
Yeah.
I don't know, because they say he has
hundreds of millions?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It has to be.
But they say he has tax problems and everything
Whatever.
Else.
Whatever. Let's say cut it in half and he had.
Let's say 500 million, but that's low.
Yeah. I mean, what? I don't know. Whatever. You're allowed to. This is a free country. You're allowed to do what you want. It's a mystery to me. I don't get it either.
Is
it really worth his legacy to get into an MMA fight? Yes, he's good on the feet.
He's not going to do it. His ego is too big. His ego is way too big.
Unless he take a fight against a lot.
No, his ego is way too big.
You know what? They could do because you know what?
He might beat CM Punk.
That's very possible. But the thing that he might, I could see this, not against a top guy, but. I could see them giving some guy, like maybe one of those guys who won a contender or something, right? But they say in the back home, motherfucker, you, this fight is contingent upon you. Don't try no takedowns.
No.
Are you kidding me? They used to do that in Strikeforce.
They paid the guy against Kimbo. They were telling guys to keep it standing.
Yeah.
And then it became a huge thing.
I'm just saying.
That, like, in fact, that... That whole that clip of Dana White going, "That's fucking illegal." That was about
the Petruzzelli.
Yeah, Petruzzelli. And like actually it was like my lawyer he was talking about.
How funny would it be if like they redid the Kimbo Tough 10 thing? And for the undefeateds, they're like, "Yeah, we have one more spot, but we haven't told you who's here." And then all of a sudden, fucking Floyd walks out.
It'd be the greatest thing in the world.
It'd be like everybody Tough would have the highest ratings ever. Yeah,
you know, think about this. You're a low level fighter. Or on the UFC roster, or you're one of those contender guys or something like that. They come to you and they say, listen, we'll pay you this X amount of dollars, but you gotta play ball. You know what I mean? You can't fucking take it.
Yeah, but Dana wouldn't do that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when it comes to...
Sure, you know better.
Hypothetically speaking, though. Continue.
Hypothetically speaking, you think that's a deal that a fighter wouldn't take? That wouldn't say, listen. They would say, listen... You're gonna become now a household name because look at like Mickey Gall. You know what I mean? Nobody knew that kid's name.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Mickey Gall, they could have easily said to Mickey Gall, hey, don't take CM Punk down or carry him for a round or two.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mickey Gall was like, fuck that. He just destroyed him.
You'd be worried. By the way, Dana's saying,
and just when I think that the MMA is like listening, the gods are listening to me and they're saying, okay, we're going to have one versus two. We're not going to have these stupid fights. Dana says, yeah, we might give CM Punk another shot. It's like, come on. Like,
is there going to be another sweepstakes?
He said that? Yeah, he said we'll give him another shot. That's completely making the sport into a fucking sideshow.
It is, but you know what the thing is from a business standpoint? I hate to say it because I wish I wasn't the kind of person that I am in this way, but I'll watch it.
I'll watch it too.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
It's like I hate myself for being that way, but I will.
It's like ONE FC just made Sakuraba versus Henzo Gracie.
50 and 48
well, old. Because I'm I love Henzinho, I would never besmirch or disparage. So I think that's a great matchup.
Come on now.
Yeah, but also they won't even say whether it's grappling.
Come on. There's no fucking. You don't think that Sakuraba could barely walk?
I think he was,
even when Mayhem beat him. I'm like,
Sakuraba,
man.
I want to make this fight. I want to make this thing.
No, you don't.
But they haven't announced.
No, you don't. You're lying.
I would never lie about something like this. And you know what? Henzinho, first of all, is the prime of his life. If you see Henzinho, look, this guy only need about 3 hours of sleep. This guy is like the energizer.
No, and
Henzinho,
he's gonna win.
He's still a tough.
He's gonna
SOB.
Win. Henzo's gonna win.
I agree.
But we don't even know if it's grappling or MMA.
But
it's MMA.
You gotta realize
it's announced.
You gotta hear.
I think it's MMA.
You gotta realize what's at stakes here is that they've been Sakuraba was known as the Grace Killer.
Yeah. Now he,
and
he's
so a, so now
he's
so
kill
so
himself now.
So a lot of that. a lot of that stuff's, you know, it's kind of old school. You know, it's like, oh, the Gracie versus, and they have a beef saddle.
Okay, so let's do Tank Abbott versus. I mean, let's just
why
go
not?
All the way back.
Let's do it.
Let's go all the way. Let's back. Do let's it. Have fucking Tank Abbott versus Betty White.
I don't mind it.
Come on,
I don't mind that. You telling me that you wouldn't pay to watch. If that came on you and they was doing that fight Abbott versus Betty White, you wouldn't watch that?
Of course I'd watch.
Okay,
it.
So
now would you?
Period.
Now would you bang Betty White right now?
No, but I let her suck to my onto my dick.
Why? Because her teeth will go out and she could probably give a good.
Probably that, and who knows the experience that she's on there. She might do some kind of stuff to knock your socks off.
Right.
Yeah.
Some stuff from back from the 20s.
Yeah.
The roaring
10s or whatever. All right, so, but I remember that she used to do ads for Cool Whip.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day. So shit, she might have still some of that.
So before we get to our next guest, Jesse Arnett, by the way, who I hung out with.
What time you got to get to this guy?
Late? 10 minutes ago.
Oh, God.
Michael Bisping was supposed to fight... Michael Bisping was supposed to fight Rashad Evans in London.
Yeah.
And I guess he couldn't come to terms with it. So he tweeted out,
I saw that.
Don't pay for the fight.
Yeah.
We couldn't come to an agreement. And you know what? Normally, I would say that's not professional, yada, yada. But they should give Bisping whatever he wants.
I
mean, the guy takes all these last-minute fights.
Uh-huh.
The guy's a company man. He's had more fights than I think anyone in the UFC. I mean, how much more could he have possibly wanted where they said no? He's not a greedy guy.
Yeah.
And he would have... Rashad Evans versus him is actually a good matchup right now because they're both sort of...
In the twilight of their career. Wait. No. I mean, that's not... That's not saying, you know... It's like they don't have that many fights left, you know?
No, right.
But wait, what was I going to say?
Bisping.
What did you just say?
It's a rematch.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I can't even remember. Who won that?
Rashad won, but barely.
I don't remember that fight.
What's name grabbed the cage,
UFC
right?
78.
Somebody grabbed the cage,
I just
right?
don't remember that one.
Someone got a point off for grabbing the cage, right?
Yeah. Fuck. I remember shit like this.
I think it was right after Rashad won the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
UFC and it was
78.
And it was a lot closer than people thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, and they were just, you know, Bisping, the whole thing was... After the loss to after Bisping's last loss,
yeah.
It was all about I'm gonna fight in London. It's gonna be my retirement fight. Vitor this blah blah blah, and so everybody got hyped up for it, and they're waiting for this card to pan out, and then all of a sudden he's not getting on it. So he says, you know, don't pay for it, whatever. But the main is now Manua and Blahovic. I think it's a rematch. I mean,
not a great main card.
It's not a good card. Period. That's
yeah.
Like the only
but people in London, names. People in London are going to show up to it though.
Still, oh, but oh yeah, yeah. But that's not where you make the most money though. Anyway, I mean, you make it on the pay per view. No?
I think it's going to be Fight Pass though. It's a Fight Pass card, right?
Ooh,
or FS1
it's
card.
Be FS1 or Fight
so
Pass
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I mean, yeah, you make money on ratings, but
the
I'm
ratings.
Not,
I don't know.
Where does Bisping's retirement fight go?
Here's the problem. I like that he said that shit, but I feel like, you know, there might be retaliation by the brass, you know?
Well, the thing is that his family is telling him not to fight anymore.
You know, I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, I know he want to go out. He don't want to go out how he went, but I tend to agree. Not to question the man's toughness or his viability, whatever, but as a friend of Mike Bisping, I would say, hey, man, you know, if your ego can handle it, I would say... He child, my brother.
What does he have to prove? Right?
Because also he's the kind of guy. He have a lot of personality. Even though some people think he's an asshole or whatever, he's a sharp guy, a quick wit. He's funny.
Yeah,
he's I like the fucking guy.
Of course,
and he's talented, and he could have a second career as a fucking actor, as an action.
Yeah,
fucking
1,000%.
Look, I put him on the map as far as acting. He play Turkish in the Renato Laranja show, where you Uncle Hanach play Brick Chop.
Yeah, totally.
And if you don't.
Jesse.
Hello.
Hello, is this Jesse Arnett?
How's it going, brother?
What's up? Okay, so there's people out there. I'm here with Renato Laranja, CB Gold. I did a show in Calgary last week, and some kid came with his belt.
What belt?
He has his. He has the TKO belt. No, this guy actually earned a belt. He didn't buy it. And this dude right here is he's a champion. He's on a 12-fight winning streak. Just beat Johnny Bedford.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Also beat Roland Delorme. And he's actually...
I know both those cats.
Yeah, this dude beat both of them.
In what organization?
What organization was it?
It was for Fight Night here in Alberta, and the other one was for Super Fight League. Yeah.
So now you're a guy. You're on a 12-fight winning streak. You want to make it to the big show, but they won't let you out of your contract, right?
Well, they offered me, UFC offered me short notice twice now at 145 pounds. I could have fought Dan Hitch there in Boston. This guy in Montreal wouldn't let me out of my deal, so I got to fight one more time May 4th. But that's okay with me. I know what level I'm at, and I know I can compete and beat these guys.
Are you from the same area as your boy, Rory McDonald?
Yeah, I'm from Vancouver originally. Rory's from Kelowna.
Let me tell you something, my brother. Not that you don't have the same timbre to your voice, but you seem like you have like a very similar accent to the brother. And I don't know if that's an insult or not, but I'm just noticed that.
That's crazy. That's funny. Yeah. No, as Canadians, we talk different, eh?
Yeah, you talk different. I mean, you know, some people sometimes I have an accent, but I can't hear it. To me, it's just a neutral.
Now the thing is that when I met this kid, he's like the pride of Calgary. Like we walked around Calgary together. Everyone knew him. Like, oh shit, that's Jesse Arnett.
There's a lot of punching in that.
This dude, like, he's like famous. I even went to that home and away bar again to watch the fights. And they were like, well, hey, do you know Jesse? I'm like, yeah, I know Jesse. They all know you. All the wait staff knew you. He's actually making a lot of money in Calgary outside the UFC.
Well,
right?
Fuck it. Maybe stay there for a little longer, my brother. You don't jump in. You know, hey, fuck it. If you're making money, make your money, man. The fame ain't going to get you no fucking money.
I know. I hear you. I'm in that 1%. I'm fucking doing okay. There's this guy in Fight Night down the road. He likes to pay us a lot of money, but it's not a super big promotion. That's where Bedford and I fought last September.
So the fucking the organization is called Fight Night?
Yeah, Fight Night. Joe Riggs has fought up there. A lot of ex-UFC guys. Jonathan Brookins.
See, that's a good name for the organization, because if I'm trying to hit on girls and I'm you and stuff, they go, you fight? And you're like, yeah, that my last, you know, I fought on the last fight night. And they think it's the fucking UFC. And then by the time in the morning, you're like, yeah, baby, FYI, it was just fight night. Didn't have nothing to do with the UFC. And then she goes, poha. She cry and hunt out the place. But it's too late.
Now, hanging out with this kid, by the way, he has major ADHD. He was all over the place. Like,
More than Chris fucking the last kid that came in?
This dude's like...
Because he seemed normal here.
No, this dude's like Adderall City.
The opposite.
Am I right, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm a little wild, I'd say. In a good way, though. I'm focused.
Yeah, you are focused.
on a lot of different... I have no idea.
Very nice. Now, you came a long way, man. So you actually lost, like, 3 of your first 4 fights, right? Then you won 12 in a row.
Yes, sir. You know what? I didn't really join jiu-jitsu at the beginning. I didn't start training full-time until my 5th fight, and then I started taking it serious. And my first couple years wrestling, I didn't win a match. And then my senior year, I beat the NCAA champion. So I knew I could turn things around in this sport as well.
What weight did you fight at?
135.
Yeah, 135 and 145 sometimes, but I am a bantamweight, 135.
But he's funny. I watch his fights. He talks after he wins. He pulls his shorts down, basically, his cock's hanging out, and struts around the ring, and everyone starts booing him. Like he's a shit heel. Yeah, you're like the villain, right?
Yeah, I play it up. Right now, I got a lot of people after me. It's funny.
Like you're like Thunderlips, from you ever seen Hockey 3?
Yes.
Yeah, the ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball. So, the ultimate object of desire.
And four of your fights you won by Darce. Darce is your go-to move.
I like the Darce, true.
Five wins by Darce choke. Yeah, it's the go-to move after I knock them down with my left hand.
I like it. Have you ever, do you get Darce from weird position too?
Mostly side, mostly from the side, or off transitions before they even get a chance to get guard. I'm quick on the transition.
Have you ever did a Darce from somebody having you back?
No, but I have gotten it from them having side control on me from
yeah.
the bottom.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know. Well, you look into that. Imagine you have like baseball bat grip and you take the choking arm and put it over to the other side. And then
you,
if you can see, it's there. I love that's the most embarrassing stuff. It's like if you're holding with like a bum, like a you know, like a kid who's not the greatest in the world, and you let him take you back, and he start getting excited, and you feel his heart on your back like going pitter patter because he's like, oh, I'm gonna tap you, Uncle Hanach, and then you put him in a fucking darts from there. It's taking back down to earth, crashing back down.
Yeah, that's awesome. They don't like that.
So Jesse, so I tweeted out, hey, someone signed this kid. He's won 12 in a row. And then you got some Russian guy emailed you from the World Series of Fighting or from PFL?
PFL.
Yeah, the next day. Those guys actually contacted my manager. They're interested in that Grand Prix tournament. But it's been delayed a few months, so we don't even know when that tournament's starting.
Yeah, they're probably going to air it during Super Bowl or something. Or like,
yeah, I mean, these fucking guys.
But it's a $1 million prize.
$1 million?
$1 million.
I'm in there. Wait, yeah. What weight class?
I think it's, what weight class is it?
I'm 135. They're doing the tournament in like three different weight classes, I heard.
I can make 135 if I try. If I stop drinking alcohol. Yeah.
Which leg are you cutting?
So how's everything going with the girlfriend? I know you guys were on and off. Are you guys back on again?
Things are good, man. Come on.
Good. That's good. Now, I mean, you're famous in Calgary. Do a lot of ring girls hit you up? Or do you get a lot of groupies?
You've seen it here. Calgary, they're easy, right?
Yeah, it really is. Calgary is like...
The girls is easy in Calgary?
It's like the Texas of Canada. It's
wow!
It really is like a Texas.
Wow! Camera.
So, what can we help? How can we help get you to that next level, Jesse?
Well, I'm fighting on UFC Fight Pass May 4th. Against some American who's 10-0. I'm not sure he hasn't had any big wins, but
what's his name?
I put him away. I forget his name. Fuck.
Christopher Williams. Chris Williams.
He's from the mid. I don't even know his name, but he only beat Chumps, and I'll be his toughest fight yet. I just worry about what I got to do. I'll take him out, and then I'll be 15-4, and we'll go from there. I'm out of my contract. I think I'll have the choice to sign with any of the major promotions. We'll see what kind of offers I get.
You mean UFC or Bellator?
No, 1FC
yes,
is looking too. No, I think 1FC, right? What did you say? 1FC was looking at
you? I could have took 1FC on short notice too, and they offered good money. So but then I'm interested in 1FC as well.
But then you gotta live in like Singapore or some shit.
Who knows? I'm not living out there, but who knows?
Yeah.
I want to do what Ben Askren did and get a couple of cars. That'd be nice.
Yeah. So how can people follow you, Jesse?
On Twitter, they're Big Cats Real. And then Facebook, I'm Jesse Arnett. Much respect, Adam. That's fun night coming to watch you with my brother.
Nah, dude, it was great. It was great seeing you, man. It was you're a great dude. Then we hung out the next day. We went out for lunch, and you're hilarious. Now you and your brother also have a snow company or something. Like you guys are moving snow or
don't talk about that on the on the podcast. You're gonna blow
my
up the spot.
We're doing snow removal. We actually take care of all the banks, Canada Trust, CIBC, Scotiabank. We're actually out and about right now, me and my buddy.
Oh, that sounds great there. You're fucking out in a boat and doing a lot, moving a lot of snow.
It's always snowing in Canada, you know that.
Of course.
Mr. Plow.
Yeah,
that's
no.
My name.
Well, listen, man. Hopefully you make the UFC and you don't have to gotta do those fucking.
Listen, you're gonna move. You won't have to move snow anymore from Calgary to Columbia or wherever the fuck you're doing. But I gotta ask you something. Are you on Instagram, my brother?
Yes, I'm Jesse Arnett on Instagram.
Jesse.
One word, Jesse Arnett.
Arnett.
This kid is so funny.
I'm going to do you the best favor in your life, and now you're going to get profile. I'm going to follow. Your Uncle Hanach is going to follow you here and wait till you see. Wait, how are you spelling Jesse?
J-E-S-S-E-A-R-N-E-T-T.
Okay.
All
big
right.
catch. Okay, I got you, my brother. I'm following you now. Watch what after I put the thumb on the thing. Watch your life change now.
Much respect, bro. Much respect. Boom. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, Jesse. Good luck with everything, brother.
Hey, Adam, take it easy, and I hope you and the wife are well. We'll chat soon, brother.
Thank you very much, Ten. Take care, brother.
Okay, ciao.
All right.
Ciao,
that was Jesse Arnett.
You like how like he didn't know how to react to that because he's like, okay, ciao.
Yeah, first got on, and he was like so soft-spoken, and then all of a sudden he's just like, hey, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, ciao. Like, cause in American and Canadian men, that's not like that's more like oh ciao for now. But that remind me. You know, remember Dave Chappelle was like when he have white lawyers and shit.
Yeah,
and he say like okay, you know, peace or whatever. They're like okay, yeah. You know, like. Yeah. And then he said, what did he say that he made up shit for them to say? He's like hub it, zip it up and zip it out, and it's all zippity doo.
He's a good kid. This kid,
yeah,
you know?
I could see that.
He
both these
exactly
kids.
Exactly like Rory at the beginning of the phone call.
Yeah, but maybe a little more excitement than Rory.
So let's talk about some major things in the MMA. Stipe Miocic is fighting Daniel Cormier. And I remember Mike Straka came to my show last night. He knows you, by the way.
I like Mike Straka. We did it years ago. We did an interview.
Yeah, he was telling
actually,
me about that.
I invaded an interview
that
he was
telling
doing.
Me about that. So... You know, Straka thinks it's a bad move for the UFC to make this fight.
What was the fight again? I'm sorry.
Cormier versus Stipe. He goes, because if Cormier wins, now he's the heavyweight champion. And I think he's got a good shot of winning. I mean,
I think, to me, I like that fight. I'm excited for that.
See, that's the thing. I don't mind number one and number one fighting each other in different weight classes.
Yeah, I don't when have
you,
a
when
problem
you,
with
when you
that.
Have like a guy who's ranked seven taking on a guy like Chael Sonnen taking on Jon Jones.
Yeah,
that made no sense.
Dan Hendo versus the champ.
Hendo
time.
Yeah, that to me is like weird.
No, I think this is great.
When you have champs fighting each other, it's a different ballgame.
To me, this is great.
They're talking about three super fight champion versus champion fights for international.
See,
fight
see, I like it. I like that. I'm the opposite. I think this is not a circus event. This is heel shit.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things where it's like Hockey versus Drago or whatever, because you gotta... I mean, anybody who's ever seen Daniel Cormier in heel life, that man is not a physically imposing human being.
No.
And I'm not that fucking... I'm pushing... I go between 200 and just under 190, that kind of thing. I look at him and he don't look. I'm not like, wow, that's a big dude or whatever. I'm just like, yeah, that's a guy. That's
not scary looking.
Not at all. And but neither is Healy. I mean, except for his expression. No. I'm talking about another guy that's like that. Except for his expression on his face. Kane don't look like much.
Right.
But his face look like don't fuck with that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But his butt. I was kind of shocked. I go, that's him. You know. But to see a guy with the size and the look of fucking Daniel Cormier do what he does in there is it blows my mind, and it make me, no matter what you think of this guy or if he's your favorite fighter or not, what he does is some of the most impressive shit I ever seen. And to see him take on a challenge like Stipe Miocic and see if he could do it, and if he does do it, whew.
Well, also, you got to remember the fact that he beat up Josh Barnett, who's a huge guy. I mean, he knocked out Bigfoot Silva.
And Grant.
Frank Mir.
In Barnett, I just want to give, because he's a friend of the show and a friend of mine, I want to give him just a little bit of credit. He broke his hand. He shattered his own hand very early in that fight. So I think he looked worse in there. That was not a normal Barnett.
Right, okay, fine.
I'm just saying.
Fine, he did. But still, he also knocked
exciting.
Out Bigfoot Silva. And Bigfoot Silva, this was the Bigfoot that beat up Fedor. Like killed Fred. This is back and then. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure Cormier's going to come into that fight around 240, 250 maybe.
He's going to
be big. However, I do think a good big guy beats a good smaller guy.
If any small guy's the one to do it,
Cormier.
It'd be Cormier.
You don't think Jon Jones would have a better shot against Stipe than Cormier?
I think that
would
be great. But I'm just saying, look at even Cormier versus Jon Jones. Jon Jones looked very bigger than him.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, that wouldn't be as impressive to me for Jon Jones to be.
Well, Cormier says if he wins, he's the best heavyweight.
Well,
he's the best of all time.
You know, I mean, hey, I don't blame him for saying that. If I was him, I'd say the same shit. It's debatable, but whatever.
No, it's probably his only two losses are to Jon Jones, who
But people can...
People are going to argue.
It's not science.
And you don't want to say it yourself. Yeah. You don't want to be the guy saying it about yourself.
Yeah, but you know, you would like to have. If I was DC, I wouldn't have said it myself. I would have said like, "Hey Joe, you know, throw me a fucking bone. Say if he wins, he's the, you know." That's how I would approach that stuff. So,
right.
You know? I just want to see if he wins. If you know, DC Kane gets made.
He already said he would never in a million years
DC
do that.
DC said he wouldn't fight Kane, but Kane said if DC wins, there might be a fight there. DC
unless they became not friends, DC.
Oh, I know.
DC has been very.
I
want to
see DC
that.
Rockhold. I heard Rockhold back in the gym back in the day was like the guy running, beating up everyone.
I don't think Rockhold beat DC.
I don't.
Even
know.
Even though he's bigger, I mean, trust me. Even though he fight at a lower weight. Rockhold is physically imposed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is strange, but it just is what it is, you know? Yeah.
So let's.
Is the dual champion thing like the new thing now? Connor did it, and now DC, they're talking about Cyborg Nunes, TJ DJ.
It's exciting. You know, it's exciting when you see somebody.
It's exciting when guys actually fight. Connor is ruining. As much as he's bringing people to the sport, it's also becoming now he wins the belt, doesn't defend it, takes time off. Yeah. It really fucks up the sport a lot. There used to be a thing.
About.
I know, but like Phil Baroni told me back in the day, I'm not sure if it's true or not, but he was at a meeting in the UFC when they decided that the UFC would be the thing. Like kind of how WWE is coming to town. It doesn't matter who's fighting on it. It's WWE, right? So people go. Where the UFC was like, don't make the stars the forefront. Let's make the company the forefront.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I can see why they would do that. Because when you let the stars be the forefront, all of a sudden they don't fight, or Ronda loses, or this one loses. And now we're stuck with a bunch of people that everyone only cares about four people.
You got a point.
That's why they would do that.
Point. Because the number one pound-for-pound fighter right now in the world couldn't sell a pay-per-view to save his life.
Who's that?
Demetrius. Yeah, that's also a size issue.
That's also a size issue.
No, I'm serious. I mean,
but it's also
if
the
he
weight.
Was a if well, he no, was 185er,
most people don't like the flyweight.
It's a size. No, but like but it's also a size issue. But it's also an issue of like Prince Nassim Hamed was what 120 pounds. But people,
that's boxing, though.
Oh yeah, but it's boxing. Yeah. But he added a certain element.
He did all kind of shit. He was like Macho Camacho. I mean, not fighting wise, but
I think getting better.
This fuck.
Macho. In his
bites your tongue.
No,
better than Camacho.
In his Prince reign. In his reign. I mean, he ended. I mean, not in the long term.
He didn't fight. And trust me, this is coming from. I was a huge Nassim fan, but he ain't in the same fucking universe as Macho Camacho.
Well,
I mean, you could argue
he didn't have the character that Camacho had. He didn't come back.
He also didn't have the pure fucking boxing skills.
He lost one fight.
You might not have seen.
He lost one fight.
I know, but
then he quit.
But also, you know, you gotta say
who's
this fucking guy?
Kevin Kelly's a good fighter.
I'm just saying.
Augie Sanchez.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Macho Camacho fought everybody.
Okay, you're right.
He was a king back then.
You're right. You're right.
He was the pride of Spanish Harlem.
But the whole point, what I was trying to make was that Nassim, him dancing.
Yeah, I loved it.
Fucking cape. And
you know what? He came out on a fucking flying carpet.
Yeah. And I remember one time on Halloween, he came out, there were goblins, and he would knock out the goblins on the way to the boxing.
Yeah. You don't see fucking Demetrius Johnson knocking out any goblin.
So what I'm saying that Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah. Sprinkle in some werewolf, some Draculas, maybe a Frankensteins. You know, maybe then you're going to get some pay-per-view. Look
maybe.
At your Uncle Hanach.
Buddy Mouse 125.
Yeah. Wow.
So also we got to talk about the fights that happened last weekend. There were some good fights. Jacare destroyed Derek Brunson.
God, are you? I saw him winning that for sure. I did not see it that way. Boja, he's become a very scary, scary individual. And here's another guy. You see him in person, scary looking. Like you look at him physically and just everything about him. And it's not, he looked like he don't want to fuck around. And I remember when I first met him, I remember it was some BJJ event, maybe in like Long Beach, something like that. And somebody, I think it was, who introduced me? Thiago Alves introduced me, said, oh, Jacare, you know, and introduced us, you know. And I said, it's a pleasure for you to meet me, you know. And then it was loud, and then he said what he said, you know. And then Thiago told him what I said, you know, and then he gave a look like he was just deadpan, and I said, oh, okay, Well, I guess just gonna see you later.
I remember the first time I met him. It was the EA MMA video game party in 2009.
Oh yeah.
And I was already a huge fan of Jacare, and I walked up to him and I said, "You know, Jacare, I'm a huge fan. Can I get a photo?" I'm a white belt, and he turns at me and he looks at me and he goes, "Well, I'm a black belt."
And then just he walk away.
He took the picture. Oh, okay. Just like, I know.
Why would you say I'm a white belt?
Maybe you know, like to tell him, like, "Hey, I'm one of you." Here's a word of advice, especially if you're approaching your Uncle Hinash. Be careful telling me you're a white belt, you know?
Why would you say that?
No, it's okay. I get why he said
that. There was a kid.
You could say, like, "Hey, I do jiu-jitsu too."
Yeah.
I remember when I was wrestling in high school, there was a kid that went up to this kid on my team. He goes, "Hey, listen, this is my first day wrestling. Please go easy on me." And the guy goes, "Okay." The dude just beat the living shit out of him, like, pinned him in like 12 seconds. Like,
well, maybe he's trying to weed out the bums, you know? Like, if you can't check this,
no, but the guy who said, "Take it easy on me," beat the other guy. Like, he beat my friend. Like, he was like a fucking.
Oh, he was bullshit.
Yeah, he was fucking with him. Like, what an asshole.
I know. Well, that's kind of fun, too. That's kind of fun. I like those kind of video where a 10-stripe black belt come into a gym and they don't know who he is, and then he wear like a white belt or something and fuck up everybody.
When I rolled with that guy, Karen.
Karen. It's spelled like Karen. It's
Karen. He was fucking me up, and after practice, he goes, "You know, I'm a white belt." I go, "What?" He goes, "Just kidding." I'm like,
"Yeah." No, he's one of the best.
Gym saying I'm a black belt. Well, and they're actually like a white or blue, and they just get demolished.
But that's funny. I understand why the benefit it is to underplay what you are. I don't understand what kind of benefit you're gonna get by pretending you higher than what you are. In a sparring situation, maybe at the club or whatever, talking to women or some shit like that. But to come into a gym and go, "Yeah, I'm a black belt." What's in it for you?
Nothing.
You're gonna get fucked
pain.
Up. Yeah.
But by the way, I gotta give a thank you to Vince Pichel, who gave me a shout out after his fight. That was the coolest thing ever. I was by myself.
Yes.
Watching it, I was cheering.
That is a very good
feeling. He told me he was gonna do it, and he actually did it.
That's a good man there.
It was
that. A lot of people don't follow through shit like that.
Almost every one of them. So props to Vince.
He looked great. I didn't see the fight.
He did. He looked great. He looked great. I thought Dominic Cruz. I don't know if it's because he went to Alliance and left Alliance. I thought Cruz was actually.
This happened in the last card.
Saturday.
You know, so I missed a lot of the fights, man.
I think that Cruz was being a little harder on him. Cruz was a commentator.
It
did seem like he was telling you how good the other guy was.
Wait, Cruz being hard on somebody?
Just seemed like Cruz was like
saying
how good the other guy was doing, and I thought Vince was doing better, and that's which is why he won.
That happens.
Because he was on Team Cruz on The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Maybe they have some kind of stuffs where at some point he didn't do him the right way, or he left, or, you know, there could be some bitterness there, souch.
Well, that stuff happens all the time, you know, like the Nate Diaz-Gray Maynard fight, they were saying, you know, the commentators influenced the judges because they were one-sided the whole time, and I'm... You know,
because they could hear they because they're sitting
I didn't
so close.
Even know the judges could hear the commentary.
Sometimes I guess that's no. You know what? That's true.
I don't think that's true.
No. But that's true because I you know what? Come to think of it, I've commentated where the guys is right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, when they hear it,
they can hear everything. You. They sit at least in this shit that I've done. Which is, I never got to do like a Bellator or a UFC. Obviously, you would know about that. But the, you know, the like farm team organizations that I've did, the fucking guys are sitting there just like stone faced. And you know what's sad? Sometimes you could tell that they distract or whatever, or they just kind of like checking the, you know, waiting to get out of there. And I think about those kids in there killing themselves and the work that they put in, and I go, carayo, you know, what's this guy know about what they're doing?
I remember one time people were mad because Bobby Green was fighting and Joe Rogan was commenting on it, and Bobby Green, Joe was telling him what to do. Like, oh, what he should do is take his hand and blah, 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 and Bobby did it. And then people were like saying that Rogan helped him.
Yeah, you know what? And you know what? That's a loophole. If you like a kid or you know him, you can do that. I mean, I remember, and sometimes I think it may be even subconscious, you know, like where I've had, when you're announcing, true, sometimes these two fucking heads is right there, and it's a guy that, a kid maybe I trained with before, or I met him, or I know, and I go, carayo, if only he would do X, Y, and Z, you know, I would love to see that kid. I'm just saying, you know, and you don't even know if the kid could hear it or not, but you know, because it's kind of loud in the fucking place, but, you know, in a way, you just go like, boy, I wonder I'm wondering what his game plan is here, because only if he was to do get an underhook or do that or whatever. And but you know, they almost never do what the fuck you said. You know, even my own student don't fucking do what I said. I go do this, and then they're doing some other shit they made up.
So Randa Marcos got a win. I was happy for her.
I think that's the only fight I saw.
Justine Kish lost.
The shit bird.
Yeah, the girl that you know.
Yeah.
I thought she won. I thought
I that, didn't saw the fight. I thought maybe that, it's because we never got. Man, we were supposed to do a
podcast with her.
No, we were supposed to do a. Me and her were supposed to do a commercial for Dude Wipe or something
really?
Like that. And somehow the whole deal fell through or whatever. And maybe since then, you know.
So this week, this Saturday night, Eric Anders.
Oh,
we've had him on the podcast.
Yeah, boy, I've trained with Eric Anders.
Really?
At Champ Planet downtown. Yeah,
so
good guy.
He's going up against Lyoto Machida.
But I know. You know, this is hard for me.
He's on a 3-fight losing streak.
And hasn't fought in a year.
And Eric Anders hits so fucking hard. However, Eric's very new to the game. I mean,
he's also a professional level athlete when it comes to like. That kid's a football player. You know, he's like a
national champion.
He's a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing about this fight. It's like, I really like Eric Anders, you know, as a person and as a fight. I'm excited about him. I want success for him. But Machida just is traditionally one of my all-time favorite guys. And I've also talked to him and his brother, and they down with your Uncle Hinach and stuff like that. It's one of those things where I'm like, I hate fights like this because I don't want to hoot for either
it's
one.
It's like Allen versus your boy.
It's not as bad as Allen, and I don't even want to talk about Allen, you know. That one break my heart.
But this fight's in Brazil. That's what I worry about, is that when you're fighting in Brazil, when you have a whole country booing you,
I don't think
the other guy has a whole country cheering you.
I don't think it got you the scorecard.
I think Eric Anders is going to knock out Machida. And I think if that happens, it's going to be 4 in a row for Machida. Maybe it's time to either Bellator or stop fighting.
Or maybe stop. I mean, because he's done a lot, and I don't think he's hurting for money. You know, I think he has a chain of dojo.
One of the
craziest
fights I've ever seen live was with Bader versus Machida. And
you ever see on Fox 4?
It was here, and nothing was going on. It was like the whole crowd was booing. And then Bader is like, oh, shit, I got to do something. Takes a fucking stupid shot and gets knocked the fuck out.
Yep. Yeah.
And I remember my dad was with me. And my dad looked at me and my dad was like, man, if he just wouldn't have listened to the crowd.
Yeah. Hey, the crowd is powerful sometimes. You know, it's your ego. You know, I mean, like the crowd. Imagine if you was at, you know, doing your fucking stand-up comedy and immediately you're telling, like, you're in the middle of a story joke, you know, like one that really is a long story, and then during it, halfway through it, the crowd as a whole start heckling you.
Dude,
and booing you.
I had,
you might go, anyway, you hear the one about the chicken, you know, like,
dude, Montreal is the biggest festival in the world, Montreal Comedy Festival. I had 4 callbacks 4 years in a row. Finally, they call me. I do a show, and I kill it at some nightclub. They're like, we want to see you again tomorrow, right? They tell me this an hour before, right? I'm taking the whole day off. I'm like, my manager's at times like, we're going to Montreal. This is your big break. They're like, hey, want to see you in an hour. I'm like, well, I don't want – they saw me yesterday. Why did you guys see me again? They want to see you again.
Ugh.
So I go to the improv, right? Of course, the first comic, the host bombs. The first, I'm on number second. First comic doesn't show up, so now I got to go on first. There's there's like 50 old ladies that are on some kind of trip to fucking Reno.
Oh.
Old grandmas.
Wow.
So I go up there and I'm getting nothing. I'm getting a couple. So I do a joke. I'm like, oh, I like older women because during sex, I'm like, who's your grandson? Which is not even part of my act, right?
You're just throwing it in there.
The fucking lady takes a hard ass menu and hurls it at me.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
Swear to God.
What? Where are you at?
The improv,
but
Hollywood improv hits me dead center in my fucking. I'm like, what? Did you just throw a fucking menu at me? Right? This never happened. There's no like, oh, well, when this happens, do this.
You never told me this story.
So now my now I try to go back to my set.
You start bleeding.
No, but my face, I have very fair skin, so like
you do.
So my
I look at it as unfair. Look at how light.
You're a dick.
Okay.
It keeps getting redder and redder and redder. You could just, and I'm like, I try to go back to my jokes, and I'm like, and then I just the rest of the set, I fucking bomb.
Oh, because you're so you off. Yeah. Because you're so fucking.
They want to see my Montreal set. They don't want to see how I react to menus being thrown at me. And at the same time, like, what do I say? It's an old fucking lady.
I can't believe that he moved that fucking old bitch.
No, they didn't remove her. And then
that's a double standard.
And then
how come an old lady?
And of course, I don't get the part. Of course, my manager is like, you know, you can't take that set seriously. That he got a menu thrown at his head. You know, like you can't even. It was just horrible. So yeah, I
what
understand.
A fucking shame. Well, no, yeah, I mean, but you know what I'm saying. So you understand like the influence of the goddamn crowd. I mean, like yeah. I don't know. It's hard. You know who can be disciplined about that, which is why some people can't stand him, is Chiron Woodley. You know, he's one guy. You could boo, you could throw tomatoes at him, and he's like, I ain't losing my fucking belt. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, no.
And there's something about that I love.
I love when
guys do, you know, also just throw caution to the wind. But there's something funny to me about a guy who's like, I don't give a fuck, you could boo me all you
want. And then while they're booing, he's like just thanking everybody. He doesn't even address the fact that they're booing him. Like, Yeah,
something about it, you know, because fuck you. If you go to the crowd, you're not in there putting your balls on the line. You're gonna boo.
1,000.
This ain't a play. This ain't Showtime on the Apollo. Or whatever.
So my man Ja Dodson is fighting Pedro Munhoz. How is Pedro Munhoz? Is it good?
Wait, Munhoz is tough.
The Filipino hacking machine. That's mismatch.
That's Mark Munhoz.
Okay, my bad.
Pedro Munhoz, I think, is still out of Kings MMA. Tough dude, has done pretty well, but this is a major step up in competition for him.
I thought Dodson beat the last guy, the guy that knocked out Moraes. If he hadn't got, he said he got kicked in the balls. No, he got kicked in the balls, and he wanted to throw up. But if you throw up, you lose.
Oh.
Thanks to the Justin Kish rule, if you shit on the ground, piss or throw up, you automatically lose.
What about in between hounds in the bucket or something?
Nothing.
If you throw up, you lose.
In the bucket.
So that's why he was going for the knockout, because he said if he hadn't knocked the guy out, he would have lost.
He also said on the show he got a little emotional after it was an eye poke, a nut shot, and he was like, fuck it, I got to finish this dude. And then...
Yeah.
You know, that's fucked up.
Dodson Munhoz, it's a good fight, but, I mean, who's faster than John Dodson?
Yeah, Dodson is a beast at that weight. I mean,
he was like just in, I think it was either Fighters Only magazine or Fight magazine, one of them, as one of like the top six heaviest hitters.
Yeah, he's a special fighter. He's just like, he just can't beat, you know, Mighty Mouse. You know
and
what I mean?
He almost won that first time. It was very, very close.
No, I mean, that's to me, that's the most trouble I've seen Mighty Mouse in.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second time it was a little emotional, you know.
But I mean, that one time, you know, I think it was the first one. You know, I feel like I was like, this is the first time I seen like a guy even have a shot at it. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But you know.
And then Valentina Shevchenko is taking on Priscilla Cochiera. You know, this is the problem. You have a number one ranked girl, the Bullet, against a girl who doesn't even have a picture, a shadow.
Yeah.
Who's not ranked?
What about a shadow?
Well, it's also at 125 though, so it's Valentina's flyweight debut. This girl's been touted before. I feel like she was supposed to fight Lauren Murphy on that finale, but couldn't get a visa, which probably would have been a better matchup for her to come into the UFC. But she is touted. But Shevchenko's, she's on the road to the title. I mean, you know, she had her shot at 135 twice. 125 is a great division for her, and she
would win right now. She would win the title right now if she fought for the title at 125.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's on the road. She's on the short road to the title. You get one win, and you're pretty much at the top. I mean, look, Nico Montano. Nobody's even heard her name since she won, and she's the champion of flyweight. So Shevchenko's
she beat
been
Roxanne
saying,
Monifar, yeah.
Yeah, let's go for a while. She wanted PVZ, but didn't happen that way.
And then
by the way, UFC, step your fucking game up. Would it kill you to put a picture of the fucking opponent? How long does it take to upload a picture?
Well, I think the only thing I will say on their end of things is they do the studio shoots the week. And that's when they come up with the pictures and start uploading them.
Just put a fucking picture of the person.
Put a random picture.
I don't put any, but
isn't it better?
They're sticklers about like their own photography. I'm not defending, but it is.
But stop being a stickler on that, because it's fucking retarded. Unless the girl is like the ugly or something like that. That's what sells it. Oh, look, this guy. I mean, I don't want to see a fucking silhouette, you know, a stock photo of a silhouette. Show me a fucking human being here. What are you doing?
Tim Johnson on the card. Tim is an Uber driver, a bouncer at a strip club, and ranked number 15 at heavyweight in the world. Army veteran taking on Marcelo Gomes, 6-0 from Brazil.
It sounds like the same story. You seen that movie Chuck about Chuck Wepner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I love that movie.
It was great. I saw it on the plane on the way back.
Me too. That's what I saw, too.
What a good fucking movie. Go see that movie, everybody. It's the heel story, the heel hockey that fucking Stallone.
When he got all fucked up and went for the audition.
Sad. Oh. I mean, heartbreaking. But how funny is the fucking guy who, I don't know where they found this kid to play Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's wearing tight.
He's doing so good that you, it's not that he's doing bad acting or something, but like you're laughing the whole time because he's so good of an impression.
Yeah.
But he's actually doing good acting.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy that got playing Stallone, because I was heading for a shitty Stallone. I was like, oh, because you see the commercial, you don't really see him. This guy was great. I like, where tights. Are they fucking from?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to blow anything, but the lockup part.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You see with that get up? I mean, it's just funny. I mean, good movie, heartbreaking at times, but mostly just a great story.
And our boy Anthony Chuck. Smith, Anthony Lionheart Smith, who actually lost that grappling match.
Oh, I like him.
To Heather's old boyfriend, David. David Mitchell.
Wait, who is fighting?
Thiago Santos.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Now, you know what? To me, that's the first most exciting fight just said on the card.
That's the most exciting fight.
Somebody getting hurt in that fucking one.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Anthony, sometimes the problem with him is he a lot of times he blows the first two rounds and knocks the guy out in the third.
But hey,
it's a dangerous game to play.
This is a dangerous fight for both individual, and it just have drama and excitement, suspense.
Violence.
Yeah. I like this one. Fans, if you want to see the heel shit, these kids is going to try to kill each other.
And then Sergio Moraes versus Tim Means. Sergio Moraes.
Oh, I thought you said, you know what? I thought you said Sarah Moraes, and I'm like, fighting Chim Mean.
Who's Sergio Moraes?
Sergio Moraes was on Ultimate Fighter Brazil, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I know that guy. Let me see the picture.
Grappler guy, more than a striker. I think if Means can keep it on the feet, he can win, but Moraes is good wrestler, good jiu-jitsu.
Oh, he's chuffed. Yeah, the pants. People say he looked like the poor man's uncle.
It's one of those stylistic matchups, but if it hits the ground, I worry about Tim Means.
Yeah, but Tim Means, hey, he's that kind of dog. He's like a junkyard dog.
He's gritty.
Yeah.
He's one of those ones. There's a few of those guys out there, just a fucking junkyard. Clay Guida, who was the guy? Matt Brown. You know, certain guys, it's like, ugh.
I know,
like,
Matt Brown came out of retirement now to fight Carlos Condit.
Oh, for him? Wow, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, he's one of those, it's those guys who, you know, like, even if you beat that guy, you know that you was in the fight of your life. You know what I mean?
Course.
It's like, it's never going to be easy.
Ever. You know? Yeah, exactly. So what do we have coming up?
Well, first of all, if you don't mind, I would like to I would like to just wrap up what I was saying about that kind of Me Too shit.
Yeah.
Just because it was just the beginning of what I was saying. Don't want anybody to misconstrue, because I want to get my true sense out. I've been thinking a lot about this shit. And I feel that I don't want you to misunderstand that I was not saying that a woman, if she go up to a guy's house, she get what she deserve. I'm not saying that a guy never have the height to force himself upon you,
right.
Okay? But I just want to say that if you're not interested in nothing more, you might want to rethink going up to somebody's house. A grown man at night, you've been drinking, all that kind of stuff. It's probably you're going to be in a position where you're going to be turning down some form of either verbal or physical sexual advance, okay? And my thing about the Aziz is that go double for if you start giving a guy a blowjob,
yes.
Or whatever the fuck you was doing, and then you want him to not be saying, hey, do you mind if we fuck, or let's do this, and getting pushy about it. And what you need to do, ladies, in that situation is to fucking walk out. You know, say, no, I'm not giving you a blowjob. I'm not giving you a hand job. I'm not kissing you. I'm not doing nothing. I'm out. And if you, I don't know what else to tell you, but if you sit there and you give a guy a blowjob, and then I don't know why this guy's in trouble for this fucking shit.
He's really not in trouble.
His fucking hands on
him. He's not really you know? In much trouble, because it actually divided. People were on two different,
so,
you know.
The way I look at it is, if I take it into the context of like Haitian stuff, you know? So what it does to me, it dilute when heel shit happen to people. So you're doing a disservice by demonize Aziz Ansari, okay? Because then people get desensitized. Oh, every fucking time. And then you start to not care about the heel shit that happens.
Yes.
So careful, ladies out there, to fucking put every fucking, to bring up every fucking thing. And then when you need a battle that's, you heal it, you got to choose your fucking battles. And the battle is not against fucking Aziz Ansari. is against the people of the Harvey Weinstein or whatever, and those kind of fucking guys, or the guys who is fucking physically abusing, and you work for them and they're threatening you that you're gonna lose your fucking job and all kind of shit. That's the shit we gotta stop. Not fucking Aziz Ansari, who's tell you, hey, come on, suck my dick over here, you know, and then you or pulling it out and showing. I mean, come on, man, get healed with that bullshit.
Right.
That's my true sense, and you can disagree or not, but that's what I have to say about that shit. And I ain't gonna change, saying funny jokes to women or saying stuff like that, because if you can't take me like that, you're gonna hate me after a while. So I'm not gonna fake it, you know. And I'll tell you this one last thing about that. You know, I'll give you an example. I was telling somebody, because I was hanging out with a lawyer friend, or a couple of lawyers in Orlando. And the guy said, well, what should I say to this, you know, something about jujitsu related, but, you know, because he was standing with like a lawyer chick or whatever. And I said, but he said something funny. But, and I said, how about erection sustained? You know what I mean?
Right.
And because I used that on a lawyer chick in Chinda, I put with me with a little light-skinned black judge here.
Yep.
And I said, erection sustained. And then she thought it was funny. But if she didn't, and she was like, what a pig. He said that.
Then we're probably not going to vibe.
If she's cool, she have a sense of humor. And if she don't like it, don't respond.
Right.
Exactly. There you go. You're a grown fucking person. Okay. Anyway, that's my true sense.
So, what do you got coming up?
What I got? I gotta go to me next because I gotta gather my thoughts.
What do you got coming up?
Not much, man. Working Graffiti Palace Tattoo, North Hollywood, 4427 Lancashire Boulevard. That's pretty much it, man. Just it's been going crazy with the last few weeks of, you know, Bellator's in town and the fights in different locations. I ended up working the Chael Rampage card.
Oh, nice.
My first credentialed press job, which was a lot of fun.
Congratulations, my brother.
Thank you. I was working for Fightbook MMA. So right now, just take the next few weeks to relax. I think in 2 weeks, the weekend of President's Day, I'm going up to Mammoth, and that's pretty much it.
All right. I'm at the Laugh Factory this Friday night, 9:45. It's a great show. Laugh Factory Friday night, 9:45. Saturday at the HaHa, hosting both shows at the HaHa. Then Wednesday, February 14th, 15th, and 16th, I'm going to be at the Joke Joint in Houston.
Oh.
Houston, Texas, the Joke Joint. Come to that. I'm at the Skyloft in Laguna Beach.
That's all exciting.
February 27th. And then April 4th, I'm at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento.
You're not doing anything on April Fool?
No. And then
that would be fun to do a one like that.
I'm at the Comedy Palace in San Diego, April 14th and 15th. And the 13th and 14th, and then I'm in Harvey's at the end of April in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, Harvey.
Harvey.
That's the one you're going to meet the other fucking kid,
yeah, exactly.
Christopher William.
Yes. So what do you got?
You're going to let him sing a little bit on there?
Of course.
What I got coming up, the only stuff, I got to look at my schedule, but the stuff that's sticking out right now is kind of in the future here. But I got another, boy, I'm knocking him out the park with the fucking charity seminars. It's hard to say no to these fucking guys, but because, you know, you feel like a shit heel when you don't do it, you know, like, so there's an organization called Mission 22, which is for veterans who've been, you know, who have PTSD, and it's, you know, a lot of, you know, there's a, I don't, not to get down or whatever, but, you know, the there's a lot of high suicide rates for, you know, for veterans who come back from these, you know, these conflicts we've been in, and this is an organization that helps these guys get back on their feet and is a resource for, you know, for these guys beyond what the fucking government is willing to provide to these people that deserve better than that. So we're doing a thing on March 10th in New Jersey. And then possibly on which is a Saturday, and then possibly I might be doing at a HEG in Connecticut. I might be doing a seminar, but we didn't work the detail of that, but I'll keep you posted.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much.
Yeah. My brother, I was on another episode of Bunnicula. It's a cartoon. You Uncle Hinaj doing more cartoon voice, but I'll keep you posted about that shit. But
keep your
eyes peeled for the show Bunnicula. It's a kids show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
Ciao.
Trap sons and trap don'ts. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Та нар стоотан дөрвөлэн мөрөлэн.